Even though he is not in the room, his message was is an eternal message of trust that you are totally safe. Thank you so much. That doesn't mean you don't get butterflies when you pick up the mic, and I'm just like everyone else. I get butterflies. This week somebody put up a beautiful quote. If you get butterflies in your stomach, that's really a sign that you are about to grow and glow. And this is a new level of growth for you, just like a caterpillar who becomes the butterfly, butterflies in your stomach. Yes. Thank you all for being here on this Sunday morning, another Awakening Together Sunday service. And thank you all for being here. And yes, this is just about 1 year. Last week we kind of celebrated 1 year, and I'm not sure exactly how many members we have, but I am sure it's, last time we looked, it was 375. It's probably something like 375, 380 now. And I just want to say what a wonderful gratitude I have for each and every one of you that actually has accepted the core messages of Awakening Together and says, yes, I'd like to be a member of Awakening Together. So, in this particular moment of our gathering, we do what we usually do. If we were in a physical edifice, we would just meet and greet all the people that have gathered here. And I would add one other thing, that today's message, which we put up above, forgiveness, happiness, kindness, blessings, and joy, a lot of it's to do with blessings. So, if you would like to have a light-filled morning and day, this very moment, when you meet and greet, take a look around the room, and maybe there's someone there who somehow has been left out of your previous blessings of your meeting and greeting, and then focus on that person and actually send them your kind thoughts wrapped in your blessings that comes from you. The blessings you give to another are the blessings that you give to yourself. If you deny one brother or sister a blessing, you are denied yourself. So what a wonderful opportunity to actually practice what we're going to be sharing here this morning. So as we go around the room, as Lynn plays some music, take it as an opportunity to send your blessings of light, love, and peace. Just pure blessings of love, light, and peace. Turning this mic over to you, Lynn Johnson.
If I could tell the world just one thing, it would be we're all okay. And not to worry, cause worry is wasteful and useless in times like these. I won't be made useless, won't be idle with despair. Gather myself around my faith, the light, the darkness most fear.
Not yours, they are my home, and I am never.
All right, thank you so much, first of all, Lynn, for that beautiful music. And I just want to thank Lynn for all the love and light she shares here all week, every day, every week, every month for this past year. And it has really been a wonderful contribution. We see how the room has been filling up every single day. Really happy with how people also been coming back, people who have left a couple of years ago, coming back and taking their place as guest teachers again. I'm thinking of Matthew, who's here for the first time after about 3 or 4 years absence. And I want to thank everyone for being here this morning again. Our admin is Barb DeWater, and she's always here. Thank you so much, Barb, for your presence. And our reader this morning is Miss Cher Murphy, and she's going to be reading the perfect thing to start us off on forgiveness. And this comes from A Course in Miracles, Chapter 14, Section 3, Decision for Guiltlessness. And that was a topic that we're listening to earlier today from from Michael Singer's the untethered soul. And so it really starts with our recognition that guilt is something that we fabricated, we made up, and it's a decision to see the guiltlessness, the sinlessness. Yes. Yes, thank you so much, Jeff. Happy first anniversary to us all. Just a couple of very quick announcements. First of all, I know that Lynn's admin program really works, and those people who have actually gone through the program are really thrilled. I was listening to Sharon yesterday, Sharon Baker, who basically was her first time as an admin on a Friday morning. She was here like at 8:30 to about 12:31. And she really got into the passion and the compassion of being an admin, and that's really what happens here. And I'm sure that you've taken a look at the admin program, and you can always contact Lynn if you'd like to do that. I'd like to speak to the other possibility that exists here in this room, and all the people that have ever come to this room who've taken on the opportunity, and Awakening Together and its predecessor, ACIM Gather, has always been a golden opportunity to develop trust in your true self. And that's, listen to Jim Dunn, it's always about trust. Trust would settle all problems, all issues, now. Not later, now. But you do have to develop trust, and nothing develops trust faster and easier than to say, I like to take my place among the teachers. There's so many openings in Awakening Together's schedule. If you're not already on the schedule, I heartily encourage and inspire, if I can, to empower you, to empower yourself, and do take this opportunity. It's such a golden opportunity. You come here, you've been led here by Holy Spirit. There's no accident that you're here. To be fully present, really, is you want to be on that schedule. Not that you need to be. You want to do this for yourself. Everyone who's ever come here, who's actually been totally committed to doing this on a regular basis. And I'm thinking of Regina Dorn Akers, who's very first time she came here in 2005. She says, well, I got some butterflies in my stomach. And we know what butterflies means now, right? You're going to grow and glow and taking on a new level of growth. And Lisa Natoli came here that same year, 2005, and she's now the head of the Foundation for the Teachers of God. Lynn Johnson, I can go on and on with the people. In fact, I'm thinking of people who came here who the very first time says, listen, I'm shivering in my boots, and I really can't do this. And those are some of the greatest teachers that we have right here, right now, that you actually listen to and love. You actually love them because they're so open, they're so loving, they're so warm, they're so compassionate. So if you're not on the schedule, please take a look at it. Yes, Ruby, yes. Ruby Lee, yes, that's exactly who I was thinking of. Thank you so much, Lynn. Ruby Lee, yes. The other announcement I'd like to make, and it was just approved by Awakening Together, is I'm starting a new class. I think I'm the first of the people who are creating my own syllabus, my own curriculum. It's a 2-session class. Starts Monday evening, September 8th at 8:30, and it's a 2-hour on the first Monday, and the following week, the second Monday, September 15th, it will be graduation time. It's going to be a very quick graduation because the class is called The Core Message of A Course in Miracles. And it really, I feel I'm the perfect person for this because the purpose of it is to radically reduce the learning curve to study A Course in Miracles. And it came to me after studying the course for 27 years, and that was way back in 2004, thinking that somehow I had missed something in the course, and of course the ego will always come from missing something in the course. There's always something new, a new concept. Oh, I just learned that. So this is a way to take a look that you already have everything, and the second evening will be a graduation where everyone does take a minimum 10 minutes to actually share the core message of the course as they hear it for them. What you hear is not going to be the same as anyone else. It's always perfect. Your interpretation of the core message is the perfect interpretation. As Jesus says in the teacher's manual, section 1, who are God's teachers? Down at the bottom of the page, it says, there is a different form of this curriculum for every teacher of God. So my form, your form, they're all different, but they all share the same content, the same purpose, and that's to remember the truth of what I am. And nothing develops truth faster than developing the trust. God is the strength in which I trust. Yes. And trust is really another way of saying, I'm not doing this alone. Far from it. You know, I'm certainly not the doer. We are all doing this together. We are all doing this together. No matter where you are, we are doing this together. That's for sure. We fell asleep together when we remembered not to laugh, and we are awakening together as we start laughing at the way that we used to see things, and now we can see them anew. We are truly, totally blessed, each and every one as one, for the function of love is one. With that, it's now time to turn this mic over to Michelle Murphy from Dallas, Texas, who is our reader today. And as I said, she'll be reading from Decision for Guiltlessness, Chapter 14, Section 3. And she's going to be reading, if you want to go there, only three paragraphs, paragraphs 16, 17, and 19. And then maybe she's going to share a little with us. She is in the ministerial program, and it's not going to be too long, and she's going to be among the ministers of Awakening Together, among the ministers of God. Okay, turning this mic over to you, Ms. Cher Murphy. This mic is all yours.
Oh, good morning, you guys. Good morning. It feels so good to be here with you guys. I'm giving you all a group hug, a group hug. When I came in, KJ was on. Is that her name? Kathy Smith, I think. I don't know her, but I do know her. But anyway, when I first came on the room today, I heard her say, "Get back up, get back up." And I thought, that is so perfect. You know, I feel like I've fallen down so many times, but get back up. And Larry, I think, was talking about being on cruise control. And so I thought, I really like that. I just want to go on cruise control and keep cruising, okay? So the paragraphs, again, it's 16 on page 278. And it says, say to the Holy Spirit only, decide for me, and it is done. And in this light, error of any kind becomes impossible. Why would you struggle, O beloved one, so frantically to anticipate all you cannot know, when all knowledge lies behind every decision the Holy Spirit makes for you? Learn of His wisdom and of His love, and teach His answer to everyone who struggles in the dark. For you, loved one, decide for them and for yourself. I love this paragraph. You taught yourself the most unnatural habit of not communicating with your Creator. And I totally believe that all habits that we form is because, no guilt, right? We're reading not guiltlessness, but we're not communicating with our Creator. So we just choose again, loved ones, because again, it says you taught yourself the most unnatural habit of not communicating with your Creator. Yet you remain in close communication with Him and with everything that is within Him, as it is. Unlearn isolation through His loving guidance, and learn of all the happy communication that you have thrown away but could never lose. Whenever you, loved ones, are in doubt what you should do, think of His presence in you and tell yourself this, and only this: He leadeth me and knows the way, which I know not. Yet He will never, ever, ever keep me from what He would have me learn. And so I trust Him. I trust Him. I trust my divine self to communicate to my divine self and all that He knows for me. Then let Him teach you quietly, and I like that quietly, how to perceive your guiltlessness, which is already there. So I like this chapter. It's called Teaching for Truth, and the subtitle, The Decision for Guiltlessness. So I get to decide guilty or not guilty. We, the jury, find all of us not guilty. We're free to have our freedom to accept and express our true divinity. So much is going on here in my dream. It seems like I've created a mold toxicity problem in this apartment we've been in 11 years. We moved in 11 years ago, and it's a very, very nice place here in downtown Dallas, but somehow on 777, I'll never forget it, I was talking to the maintenance guy, and the lady next door moved out because there was mold, and I thought she was really overreacting. But anyway, 3 years ago, the air conditioner thing kind of went kaput, and there was mold, and I even went to the apartment and said, you know, we had mold. And so anyway, it's just, I'm really laughing at it all. So we should have moved out 3 years ago. No shoulda, coulda, woulda, but on hyperbaric oxygen and all that stuff. And so, you know, we didn't. So, and I wear wigs. My hair fell out the first year we moved into this apartment. So, I don't know. I'm not going to totally blame it on that, but I've had a lot of chronic pain, and I feel like sharp needles sticking in my head a lot. So, and really with all this, it's kind of brought up a lot of shame for me. But I'm really, really proud. I'm so proud that I've never given up. Get back up. Thank you. We're getting back up. And I have always kept my sense of humor. And I'm really loving it. I know that at some level, I've also created spinal degeneration. I've been in so much back pain. And I finally went to the doctor after a massage therapist said, what's wrong with your back? So, you know what? All things are lessons God would have me learn. And at some level, this is the script that I've written. Guilty or not guilty? Not guilty. I'm taking full responsibility for my part in this share show. We're moving to a brand new apartment in a high rise on the 12th floor in downtown Dallas. So I can't wait. Y'all are all invited. Let me get set up. And I just love this holy instant. I'm so grateful to be walking with you all. I'm still loving the ministerial program of Awakening Together with Miss Regina and all of us, you guys. We're awakening together. What could be more awesome than that? And so I'd also, I seem to be listening to so many voices. Mold mimics Lyme disease. So I have a lot of the same, same symptoms that Lyme patients do. And I was getting an IV the other day, a couple days ago, and I was kind of sharing my story, which, again, let go of your story, right? But it was interesting. Three people gave me their cards, that one of them had a biofeedback machine, one of them her husband. I kind of walked out to the car and I thought, oh my word, everybody has a pill, a supplement, a way. And I just realized that there's not all these voices to listen to. It's the inner voice of the Holy Spirit. And it's so perfect for what I just read today. It's so perfect. He leadeth me. He leadeth me and knows the way which I know not. Yet he will never, ever, ever keep me from what he would have me learn. And so I trust him to communicate to me all that he knows for me. And that's all that he knows for all of us. And I'm going to play the song today and then I'll be done. It's called I Am Not a Body, I Am Free, for I am still as God created me. It's 7 minutes long. I'm not playing 7 minutes. About a couple minutes, we can all dance. God created me. Susan, Deb, Sharon, all you guys. I love you guys. I am still. God created me. That's our lesson for today. I love you too. I am still. God created me. Aren't we glad we're not these bodies? I am free. You know, somebody in the course group, in my course group a while back, his name was Jose, and I said, you know, I'm not a body. And he said, but Miss Sherry, you have a body. That made a lot of sense to me. I'm not the body. I do have a body, and I'm still working on healing, but I feel such peace and joy in that healing. I don't know what to do. Well, my... I am free. All right, you guys. And then this last part, I just opened to this. It says, I am the Holy Son of God Himself. I cannot suffer. I cannot be in pain. I can never suffer loss, never fail. And I can do all that salvation asks. I love you all. Thank you so much, David. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let me see.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Cher. Ms. Cher Murphy, who has been here 10 years. We started in 2004. She was here just about a week or two after we started here at on Pal Talk. In January of 2004, and she was a guest teacher here on Monday mornings, part of Team Sonship, who used to do the workbook lesson and text every morning. She was doing it on Monday mornings. Thank you so much, Ms. Sharon. I'm so happy you're doing the ministerial program, truly. And you're going to be one wonderful minister. And for those people who are on, and Susan Cole Perkins, thank you so much for mentioning it. This is your birthday, yes, and we are here celebrating your birthday, and it's really the birthday also of Awakening Together, and every day is a new day. Every day is a present love meaning that everything that has ever been, anything that is valuable is right here, right now, before time began, after time ends. It's all here in this present moment. And all we have to do is let go of that past and forget about the future. You can just celebrate right now, right now, right now. Okay, and Barb DeWard is putting up the link for the Ministerial Preparation Program. If you're not already familiar with that, that, of course, is really a commitment. It's about a year and a half kind of commitment, and at the end, you are a fully ordained minister, and with all the duties and privileges of any minister, you can marry people, you can counsel as a minister of God, fully ordained throughout the United States for sure. Okay. Also, I'm just going to mention the link for Monday, September 8th. Okay. And that starts September 8th. It's just two classes. It does cost, if you go to that link, it'll tell you the cost is $55. But it's to radically reduce your learning curve for the study of A Course in Miracles. You could do it my way, which is keep reading the book for 27 years, and I pretty much did that until I heard Jesus speak to me directly. And we're going to be playing that audio from Ken Wapnick, and where I did hear Jesus speak to me directly in the introduction to the clarification of terms, which we find on page 77. Okay, and Jay just sent me a very quick message that we will be offering several sections of True Discernment, which is one of the courses that is being offered soon by David, Nikki, and Jackie. And thank you so much, Jay, for mentioning that. So True Discernment, which is a must in the ministerial program, really sorts out the truth from the false, the truth from the false, and is such a grounding that the understanding of discernment between the voice of love and the voice of denial, the voice of truth and the voice that denies the truth, is such a powerful first course, and is a must, of course, to be a minister. Okay, today's topic, forgiveness, happiness, kindness, blessings, and joy. You can probably tell from the title of the topic that it really wasn't easy to pick anything at all, but if you really look at it, each one of those words are really the same. There really is no difference between forgiveness, happiness, kindness, blessings, and joy. In fact, we're doing it for joy. You might say that joy begins at the beginning as well as the end. We are the joy of God. We are created in His image. What do we think God's image is? It's pure joy. It is pure joy. And we all are doing this for joy. Oh, yes. When you fall into a deep sleep and you are dreaming, you forget why you're doing it. You forget why you're doing this. And that's why it says, ask of all things of this world. What is it for? Because we do not know what it's for. But I assure you, it's really for joy. We're doing this for the joy and the love of God. Okay. And we don't do this as one. Myself. Now we do this as one, all as one, all being one, for the function of love is one. Most of you know that almost every time I'm here on a Sunday morning, I usually say the Holy Spirit gives me everything that I could possibly ever need to say is always supplied to me by the Holy Spirit, mainly because I guess I put the Holy Spirit in charge by my request a long time ago. And almost everything, I shouldn't say almost, everything that seems to happen is actually gently planned for us all by one whose only purpose is our good. This week is no exception. I was sitting in a waiting room and I picked up a magazine, which I normally would never really pick up, and on the front cover it said, "Will this man cure cancer?" I said, "Well, I'm going to read this, you know, I'm going to see what it has to say." And I opened up the book, and the page I opened up the book to, at the bottom in italics by an author who's considered to be one of the 100 best authors of the 20th century, Tom Robbins. This is what he says. "It becomes the duty of superior men and women to fling their favorite monkey wrenches into the machinery." I said, "What?" I mean, outside of the word superior, this seems to be coming straight from A Course in Miracles, but as Suzanne de Kaiser, my sharing partner on Friday, says, well, take it in the context that we all speak of. Superior means we have made the discernment, there's that word, discernment, between the ego and spirit, between the ego and spirit. So once you discern the difference, the distinction, the discernment between spirit and ego, you are one of the superior men and women. That doesn't mean there's anybody inferior. It just means that some still are not fully aware which voice is speaking to them. That's all it means. And I must say that I actually came home and said, I'm going to put this in coarse terms in a way. And this is what I wrote the very next day. And it says, "Forgiveness, which is the earthly form of love." And that's exactly what Jesus says. Forgiveness is the earthly form of love. Because, you know, at the very beginning of A Course in Miracles, it says, you know, your job, your function here is really not to seek and find love, for that's beyond the scope of this course, because who you are is love. I mean, can you imagine trying to find love when you are love? I mean, you know, you'd be going on forever. That's pretty much what, you know, the ego loves to do. I'm going to keep looking and looking and seek and do not find. That is the mantra of the ego. So I'm going to keep seeking and, you know, it's a waste of time. time in eternity to delay in eternity, as Jesus says, is nothing. To delay in time, well, that's a complete waste. To delay in time is a waste. So forgiveness, which is the earthly form of love, throws a monkey wrench into the ego machinery by not reacting to the screen script. And we know that when we react, and we know it's a reaction, it's a knee-jerk reaction. Somebody says the wrong thing, somebody doesn't look at you, someone ignores you, somebody basically doesn't acknowledge you. All of those seem to be a form of denial of who you are, that you don't really count. Somehow somebody sees you not as you see yourself, and you know, that's the script. We are all presented with that same script. Now, our knee-jerk reaction is always the ego speaking first and loudest and says, "Listen, who the heck are you?" And then we give them a mouthful of who the heck we think they are. And of course, that's pretty much what the world's been doing for eons and eons, and it just is walking on a treadmill. Nothing really ever changes. We do the same thing over and over and over. The second part of that is not giving energy to darkness returns the energy to the light. It moves us from defensiveness to powerful, from forgetfulness to remembering that we are one. So, yes, exactly as Mashiach was reading, decision for guiltlessness. We're either deciding for guilt, deciding for the ego, or we are deciding for God, which is deciding for joy, which is decide for guiltlessness. The Son of God is guiltless. The Son of God is sinless. He is the innocent, always, child of God, just as I am. You can't see yourself as a son of God unless you see your brother and sister as the child of God, the innocent child of God. You leave one out. You leave one out. And what does Jesus say if you leave one out? He says you're not going to be joyous at all. To be fully and wholly joyous, all must be included. His exact words are, if you are not wholly joyous, if you're not wholly joyous, holy means wholly joyous, you know, which is our true nature, you must have withheld love from one of God's creations. And of course, there's no secret who we are withholding the love from. Does anyone think that there's a secret? You think there's somebody here in this room, or you think it's somebody out there in maybe your family or someone you work with? No. It's never out there. It's always within. It's always, I am withholding love from myself. If I am defending myself, if I am pushing love away, I am attacking myself. I'm attacking myself. The word forgiveness, of course, you know, for those, I do want to give a mention to John Mundy's new book, Lesson 101, which we all know Lesson 101 is called God's Will for Me is Perfect Happiness. John Mundy's new book is called Lesson 101. Perfect Happiness, A Path to Joy from A Course in Miracles. And I just got one of his advanced copies. He asked Suzanne and I to maybe review it, and we're going to do that. And Suzanne's going to read the book. I just opened the book as I normally do. I don't really read books cover to cover. Suzanne is a voracious reader, and she's going to do that for us. But I opened up, and it opened up to page 197, and there I saw in the middle of the page this little blurb with a big title, God Does Not Judge. Oh, it's on Audible Books. Thank you so much, Sharon. God Does Not Judge. And I said, I opened up the book like I always do, looking for, let's see what Holy Spirit has in store for me. And I opened up the book, and this is what it says, God Does Not Judge. I said, okay, well, all right. Let's see what it says. The purpose of time is to give us time to achieve this perfect perception of our own perfect creations. Dreams end where knowledge or perfect judgment begins. So he actually is saying, you know, judgment is perfect when it's filled with the equality and the peace and the kindness and the love for all included as one. That is, of course, the way God sees. He can't make anybody special. He goes on to say, then, despite the seeming severity of our situation, the seeming severity of our situation, we're okay. Even if the body is not okay, the mind is okay. Even if the body is not okay, the mind is okay. Yes, because we have blown away all of the shadows, all the blockages. Remember, the function, your function here is to remove the blockages to your awareness of love's presence. The love is always here. It doesn't matter what it looks like, what it seems like. It doesn't matter what's going on in your body. It doesn't matter what's going on anywhere in this world. You are the holy Son of God. You are the holy child of God, and everyone in your movie, in your dream, is the holy child of God too. All are included. It also occurred to me that, you know, I grew up thinking that, you know, well, you know, God does judge. You know, I don't know if anyone is here who basically grew up thinking that God doesn't judge you. Well, you are totally blessed. You probably have gone through all of this in a past lifetime, and you've come here, you know, completely fresh and new, and you see that God doesn't judge you, that God just loves you. You know that is true when you just don't judge anyone else, that you just love everyone else too. But for me personally, I did grow up for many, 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 many years, many years, with the idea that, yeah, God is watching me, yeah, and I got to do this, or, we all know what the or is about. Now, as a matter of fact, none of that is true. That's like a complete falsehood. Complete falsehood. No wonder, you know, we think that judging is really okay. You know, and I kind of realized that because of my upbringing, meaning nothing to do with my parents, by the way, all to do with me. I think my parents were wonderful. I mean, they thought they were judged too, but they didn't really teach me that, really. I did that for myself. I became pretty much of a cynical guy. The word cynical or snarky, the term that we use here in this room is unkind. And remember, the title of today's talk is Forgiveness, Happiness, Kindness, Blessings, and Joy. So it was just the other day that I said to myself, you know, Holy Spirit, I know that you would grant any request that I make, so please show me my kind thoughts. Please show me my kind thoughts. I really don't want to see my unkind thoughts anymore. I have to tell you, within a moment, my mind lit up. My mind lit up with a bright, bright light. A bright light. And I recognized and realized when the Dalai Lama says, my religion is kindness. And I think we all read that somewhere. The Dalai Lama says, my religion is kindness. He doesn't say his religion is Tibetan Buddhism or something like that. He says, my religion is kindness. And I guess I always translated that, well, you know, kindness means you open doors for people, you say the right things, you this or that. And all of a sudden I realized that kindness has nothing to do with what you do. Kindness has nothing to do with the way you are in the world. The way you are in the world is just going to reflect your mind, where you are in your mind. The world is nothing more than an outside picture of your inner condition. So when you ask the Holy Spirit for your kind thoughts, I realize that a kind thought is a non-judgmental thought. A non-judgmental thought. And we're filled with kind thoughts. But we also, unless we are vigilant for God and kingdom, we also have unkind thoughts. Unkind thoughts. And our unkind thoughts, of course, are our judgmental thoughts. Just that simple. You know, it's judgment or non-judgment. It's kindness or unkindness. You know. It kind of makes it easy. You know, your kind thoughts contain no judgment at all, and your mind fills with a bright light. It's such a release. It's so simple, really so simple. It's something that you just give, you just extend. It's the light and the peace that is extended when it says, I am the light. I am, as it says in the Course, kindness created you kind. Yes. Joy created you joyous. Yes. Happiness created you happy. These are thoughts. One other thing that came to me, though, which I had just experienced the day before, is that when you take one of your kind thoughts and you wrap them in a blessing, and when you wrap them in a blessing and you send them to one who for some reason you didn't have a kind thought for, or maybe you haven't blessed them, when you denied them, you denied yourself, all of a sudden that kind thought literally releases both of you. It's really seeing equality, sameness, oneness. You know, I have spoken many times of text chapter 7, section 7, and said, do read it. I remember Regina and I actually shared this on a Sunday night together as a topic that we did together. It was about 3-4 years ago, Totality of the Kingdom. And this is how it starts out. It says, whenever you deny a blessing to a brother, you will feel deprived. Because denial is as total as love. Denial is as total as love. So we can talk about love all we want. But if we deny just one brother, that's total denial. There's no love in the mind that denies one brother. There's no love. If you see your brother as different in any way, this is from Ken Wapnick, you cannot love the brother, for you already made a judgment. Oh yes, you say, well, I love you, you know, the past is all forgiven. No, that's not what forgiveness is for. Forgiveness doesn't change the past. It just brings the light into the now. It brings the blessings that you are blessed into the now, so that the future does not look like the past. So it says, it's impossible to deny part of the sonship as it is to love it in part. Nor is it possible to love it totally at times. You can't just say, well, while I'm here in the sanctuary, it's so easy to love everyone here. No. It says you cannot be totally committed. Sometimes denial, it says you cannot be totally committed sometimes. So this is a commitment. This is a total commitment. This is, are you wholly willing? Your wholly willingness is really what total trust is. That is our integrity. And by the way, God never watches us. Our own integrity is watching. Our own integrity will not allow us to get away with less than wholeness. Total integrity is trust. Total trust is integrity. Yes, trusting that you are and my brother is one and the same. That is the end of sacrifice. And sacrifice does remain the one idea behind all the world's forms of pain and suffering, and scarcity, and lack, and grief, starvation, and even death, as it says in famous lesson 187, I bless the world because I bless myself, because I bless myself. And this is how you bless yourself. If you drop down into paragraph 2 of the same Totality of the Kingdom, chapter 7, section 7, listen up for this, and maybe I can put this up on the board so everyone can read along with me as we read this. Because this is such a powerful paragraph. And if you take this with you, you know, print it out and take it with you. When a brother acts insanely, and of course he will be acting insanely if he's coming from ego, of course, and Jesus tells you that in correction of error. It's not for you to correct your brother. Your brother is perfect, absolutely perfect. But if he's coming from ego, he will sound foolish and he'll look foolish and he'll be acting insanely. But he is offering you, an opportunity. This is a golden opportunity to bless him. His need is yours. Now, if you think your brother is acting insanely, and most of us know already, projection makes perception. You mean I'm over here and I'm sane and I'm seeing my brother as insane? Really? You gotta laugh. No. It can't be that I'm sane and I see my brother as insane. That's impossible. So he is offering you an opportunity to bless him. His need is yours. You need the blessing that you can offer him. Now here's the part that we don't really get, and here it is as Jesus gives it to us, and I think this is the only place of the Course where he gives it to us in such certain terms. There is no way for you to have it except by giving it. There's no way for you to be blessed except by giving the blessing. This is the law of God, and it has no exceptions. It's the law of God, and it has no exceptions, for there are no exceptions in God. What you deny, you lack. So if you deny another anything, you lack it yourself. Even though you are blessed, God's blessings for you is always eternal. You don't have to worry about God blessing you. But what are you doing for yourself? Are you denying yourself? Which is the blockages that we come here to remove. And you can't just remove the blockages for yourself. Every brother that comes to you, that offers you this golden opportunity, is giving you the golden opportunity to remove the blockages for both of you by sharing the blessing, by giving the blessing. This is the law of God, and it has no exceptions. What you deny, you lack, not because it's lacking, but because you have denied it in another and are therefore not aware of it in yourself. Yes. Isn't that what awareness is? I'm either aware that I am blessed as the loving, joyous, happy, perfect Son of God, or I'm not aware of it. So you can use these words all you want. But are we experiencing that awareness? Are we experiencing it in this moment? And in this moment, it's so easy to experience it by giving it, by sharing it. Redemption is recognized only by sharing it. Every response that you make, is determined by what you think you are, and what you want to be is what you think you are. What you want to be then must determine every response you make. Every response you make. Now, it seems in a way that we just said my non-reaction, my do not react when somebody does something. But, you know, on one level, I need do nothing. I need do nothing. On one level, I need do nothing. But if I'm a miracle worker, if I'm a teacher of God, God sends his teachers into this world, and if it wasn't for them, there would be very little hope. There would be very little hope for this world that grows weary. He's really saying, you know, many people have climbed to the mountaintop and sat in the lotus position and meditated on awareness. And then they come down the other side of the mountain, and they walk across the village square in their finely sandaled feet, and somebody steps on their big toe and says, "You buffoon, watch where you're going." You really can't really do this for yourself. Two by two, they enter the ark. So, I heartily recommend you take a look at the totality of the kingdom, chapter 7, section 7. It goes on talking about God's blessings and the blessings that you are given to share with all. I just want to mention that the moment after I posted what I posted here earlier about not giving energy to darkness returns the energy to the light, the next morning I woke up and I saw Regina put up the daily quote for the day, which I think was on Thursday, and this is what it says. Non-reaction to the ego in others is one of the most effective ways not only of going beyond the ego in yourself, but also of dissolving the collective human ego. The collective human ego. But you can only be in a state of non-reaction if you can recognize someone's behavior as coming from ego, as being an expression of the collective human dysfunction. The collective human dysfunction. When you realize it's not personal, nothing here is personal, nothing. That's why we are all here with each other and for each other, that everyone plays the perfect part in our healing. Everyone plays the perfect part in our healing, especially the ones that you think don't speak to you of the warm fuzzies that you think you deserve. No, we are all here together to dissolve the collective human dysfunction with the blockages, the shadows, the judgments that we thought that God judged us, and we became cynical, we became contemptuous of others who didn't didn't seem to share my beliefs, my religion, or my this, or my that. There's no my in this. There's no my. We're all in this together. It's not personal. There's no longer a compulsion to react as if it were, as Eckhart Tolle says. And then he says, another word for non-reaction is forgiveness. Another word for non-reaction is forgiveness. And yes, in forgiveness, simply looks upon devastation and simply does nothing. Yes, I refuse to be at the effect. I refuse to react as if I was a robot or a puppet. No, I am not a robot. I am a puppet. I am the Holy Son of God Himself, and I am the light. I bring the light with me. I bring God's blessings, and I've come here to bless the world because I bless myself. Okay, I want to thank everyone. Certainly want to thank the Holy Spirit, who certainly gives me every single word, every single thought that comes through here. I never really know what's going to come through. And it's all just really, thank you so much, Spirit. We have the one voice, the one Spirit who speaks to us all. That's why I say, please do take your place among the teachers here and begin to recognize that Spirit is always speaking to you and through you. Speaking to you and through you. The message first is for you to be shared with all your brothers and sisters. And you find this in Lessons 154 and 155. 154, I am among the ministers of God. I am. I already gave my consent. It says that. And then in 155, he tells you exactly how to do it. Let me step back and let him lead the way. I'm not really doing anything, but we are all doing it together. Together. We awaken together, for the function of love is one. Thank you all. It's now time to turn this mic back over to you, Lynn, for a song. It's time also to take a look if you'd like to make a loving donation, a loving gift to Awakening Together. If you find that you find anything here in this room, or anything you receive, whether it's here or anywhere, and you want to share your light and your love, I'm going to ask Barb DeWater to put up, and she just did, the link for donating. And yes, we do love your love gifts, which does help us run this organization, Awakening Together. Thanking you all. Turning this mic over to you. Reminding everyone we have another 10, 12 minutes for anyone who was inspired or wants to share. If you have any questions, please use that. And then an hour from now, of course, for the next hour, I should say, we have our fellowship hour and our social hour. Right now, Lynn Johnson, the music, and then we'll do a little sharing right here. Thank you.
I'm sorry, I love you. Thank you for what you reveal. The part of this I share, the false belief I bear, the memory, the wound that wants to heal. Forgive me, I'm sorry, I love you. Thank you for showing your face by challenging my peace. You help me to release this notion that I'm separate from grace. Knowing peace begins with me. I invite love, I invite so I can clear the dissonance in me. Forgive me, I'm sorry, I love you. Forgive all my ancestors too. However this began, forgive us if you can. Forgive us, for we know not what we do. Knowing peace begins with me. I stand before your mirror and bowing to myself in you. I invite love.
Thank you so much, Lynn, for that Kirtana. Of course, Kirtana is one of the three presenters at the Santa Barbara retreat that we're having, Awakening Together, this September. And thank you for, if you haven't looked at it, maybe Barbara wants to put that up again. We do have about 10 minutes to share anything that came up for you, maybe during this morning, or something that you want to bring to the attention of everyone. Maybe something on kindness as a thought, blessings, wrap your kindness in blessings, wrap your joy. And I forgot to say, it winds up forgiveness, happiness, kindness, blessings, and joy. It not only we're doing all of this for joy, you can be sure that we are the joy. The joy of love, the joy of God. Today's quote actually says, comes from Ann B. Davis, that there is in all of us a space, a God-shaped space. And I assure you that God-shaped space is joy. It says in lesson number 12, if you only knew what's underneath, what the ego rushes in to write its own messages in your mind, you would be indescribably happy. Indescribably happy. Lesson number 12. And what is indescribably happy but wholly joyous? Wholly joyous. If you're not wholly joyous, you must have withheld love from one of God's creations. Okay, thanks, Barb, for putting those links up, the Soak in the Beauty retreat, September 14th to 18th, the Kirtana, Magdi MB, and Timothy Conway, September 12th through the 14th, all at the beautiful Santa Barbara Mission in beautiful Santa Barbara, California. Anyone want to share anything at all, anything that came up for anyone this morning, or anything that you'd like to contribute? Ms. Deb Gary, this mic is all yours.
Just real quickly, can you hear me? First off, is it all right? Can you hear me? I just want to say that it's because of this community, all of you guys in this room, and particularly Dove, that I am getting much, much closer to the full awareness of what forgiveness is. It's work, 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 look, 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 mistakes, and, you know, and it's just wonderful to have a group of people to be there, you know, and to be so supportive and helpful through everything. And so I just wanted to say that I'm very grateful for everyone's, you know, being here, and I'm so grateful to be a part of this community. That's all I had, and thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Ms. Deb Gary, for sharing that, being here this morning. You know, and I noticed that somehow it never clearly came out, but let me say it again. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Deb Gary, for allowing me to have this experience with you. Thank you so much. It was about a week ago that someone wrote, and certainly I have posted it everywhere. True forgiveness is the ability to say, thank you so much for the experience that I came here for. Yes, you can say that with love in your heart. This is certainly the truth of how we are all here together, doing this with each other and for each other. You know, as Ken Wapnick said, I remember being in a New York City apartment, listening to him. He used to go to people's apartments, and people used to come and listen to what he had to say, and half the room was asleep, because the ego didn't really want to hear it. But he says, you know, you know, your real lessons aren't with the people that make you feel warm and fuzzy and say all the right things to you. Your real lessons are with the people where you might feel a little uncomfortable with. He said, but if you hang out there, that's where your lessons are. Of course, when you finally get to see that forgiveness, true forgiveness, is really recognizing that there's nothing to forgive, first of all, and the person that gave you a golden opportunity to see it differently, and that's what this whole course is about, seeing things differently. Above all else, I'm determined to see differently, above all else. And that's what atonement is. It's the correction of perception. And again, I heartily recommend, if you haven't read Chapter 29, Section 4, Dream Roles, please do. It's the heart of this course. That everyone in your dream has been given a role assigned by you. Yes, Ms. Deb Gary, I assigned this role to you. And you played it perfectly. So true forgiveness is thanking you for this opportunity to share here this morning about forgiveness and happiness and kindness and blessings and joy. If you're not wholly joyous, you must have been withholding love from one of God's creations, and the only one you're ever withholding love from is yourself. Thank you, Susan Perkins, this mic is all yours. Thank you so much. Susan, did you pick up the mic? Because it wasn't picked up fully. It's section, chapter 29, section 4. Chapter 29, section 4, Dream Roles. Susan, the mic is yours.
About that. Okay. Yes, I just wanted to say something briefly. I am not wholly joyous, and I want to be. And when I heard you say that today, you know, they came two by two, That definitely, you know, it's like the first time I just heard something, and I just keep coming here to learn, and there's a couple of relationships in my life that I feel like I don't understand why they're not great or perfect, or why I'm upset, or why I feel abandoned by them, or why. But just listening, you know, on this show, this hour, I always get to hear. It's something that I've withheld. It's something that I've withheld. So, you know, I was listening to Lynn last night and talking about the meditation. So, just in the shower this morning, I just was trying to forgive myself for, you know, thoughts of abandonment or anything that could make me feel this way. I had, you know, a few months ago I talked to y'all about a landlord that I have that's really hard, and there's been so many times where I've wanted to move out, but then I remembered, you know what, these are the perfect opportunities for me. This is me. I'm seeing me, and I just have to stay here and keep forgiving it and loving it and working with it, and it is getting better. And, you know, it's funny, I'm just doing the lessons in the Course in Miracles. I was doing them, and I was trying to do 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 a day, and I was like, okay. Then I heard Lisa Natoli just say, just do 1 a day. So I'm just doing 1 a day. I'm just on 12, but I'm doing it every day, and I'm doing my practice periods. And I just appreciate everyone in this room. Lynn, God, you're just such an angel to me. I love you so much. I love you, Dove. I want to get on here and try to share. You know, I still have been very shy, and my ego has been very much, you know, telling me I can't do it. But even if I come on and read, I would like to get started. But I love you guys. I hope you have a great day. And thank you so much for everything that you do on here.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Dove, and everyone for sharing. Such a beautiful, beautiful service. I love it. Now, I want to thank you once more. And yesterday, Friday, I lost connection right after we talked, Dove. You and I shared a little bit. Right after that, the computer just lost connection. And I couldn't get back on until late last night, so I apologize for that. But for whatever reason, I guess I wasn't supposed to be speaking yesterday, so next week. You know, I am not a body. I am free, for I am still as God created me. And this is the truth about me. You know, I bless the world because I bless myself. And when you were sharing about in the greatest difficulties is the greatest blessings, that for me is so, so true and so wonderful, because when I can see the forgiveness and the blessing in that moment and just forgive and bless no matter what is going on in my life, no matter what is happening, just bless, 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 and behold the Christ in my brother, in my sister, in front of me, in the situation. And I'm so grateful for that, because that is the truth. You know, that is the truth within me, and the Spirit of God lives in me. And thank you, and God bless.
And good morning to all. Something that Susan Perkins was saying just a moment ago. Big mwah to you too, sweet dreams. Mwah. Big sloppy mwah. The idea of having to stay in a relationship with someone so that I can learn a lesson. There is no requirement put on us by God to stay in a relationship so we can learn a lesson. Nothing that I've ever seen in anything that has ever come before me has ever stated that God wants us to stay in any particular kind of relationship for the purpose of learning a lesson. We want to learn lessons, fine, but we stay there of our own free will. We do not stay there because we want to teach someone else a lesson. We do not stay there to inflict that lesson upon ourselves. That is not love. That just is not love. Love is only expressed in love. And if at this particular moment in time I am not able to express the love in the way that feels like love, if I am not able to perceive the lesson in love as it is being expressed to me, then it is not the right time for me to be there. I do not need to be here to be in fear. I do not need to be here to feel a lack or a want or a dis-ease, or to feel any kind of an attack whatsoever. That is not my purpose here, and that is not what God wants of us. The only relationship that is required of us is the true relationship between ourself and our Father. That is the only relationship that has a requirement, and its requirement is there only because, or I should say, it is only required because it is the only truth of who we are. If it ain't fun, don't do it. Have fun. Enjoy the lesson. We are here on purpose because we have decided to be. It is not the purpose that God wants for us, but God is allowing us this purpose until we realize our true purpose. Have fun. Be places that are fun. Do things that are fun. And by fun, I mean love. Be love because it is fun. That is the joy of the lesson of this world. That we can indeed choose joy, that we can indeed choose fun, that we can indeed choose love. Love without any tinge of fear or disgust or sorrow or lack or want. Love that has no other appendage whatsoever. Love that is beyond anything that can be conceived in this world or perceived in this world. We are here for love. That is the purpose of this room. That is the purpose of this wonderful reflection of brothers that we see before us here and that we hear in this room. This is why we are here, to enjoy the love. Enjoy the love. Right, Dove? Have fun. Be that love. Not only for your brothers, but also and primarily for yourself. Because if I am blocking the awareness of love to myself, I cannot possibly be able to reflect love to my brother. How can I remove the small speck of sawdust in my brother's eye if I refuse to admit that I have a huge plank in my own? Be love. Be in joy. Learn the lessons gently. Realize that the ability to learn the lesson gently is the greatest gift that you can give yourself in this world. No more 2x4s upside the head. Gentle taps. Gentle love. Gentle joy. Thank you.
All right, thank you so much. I want to thank everyone who has shared here, Susan, Christina, Jeff. And Susan, I heartily recommend that you take your place among the teachers. It's really about developing trust in your true self. You are so worthy, so beautiful, but you must begin to develop trust in your own kindness, your own gentleness. Everyone knows you as gentle and kind. Be kind and gentle to yourself. And only the trusting can afford to be honest with themselves, kind, patient, gentle, tolerant of yourself, not defensive of yourself. All those are the characteristics of God's teachers. You find them in section 4 of the Teacher's Manual. I do want to thank everyone who's here and also on the radio. If you're listening on the radio, you may have the same question that was asked 2 or 3 times here. What section is Dream Roles? It's Chapter 29, Section 4. And in Chapter 29, Section 4, read the whole section, but it's paragraphs 4, 5, and 6, which really speak to that everyone in your dream, in your life, in your movie, have the roles the role that you have assigned to them. You have ascribed to them what it is that you would have them play in your life so that you can heal. We're all here for healing. All are here for healing. You can't heal when you're not even aware of what there is to heal. The shadows and the unkind thoughts must be presented to you so you can look at them. You look at them and then let them go. You will hold on to them, which are nothing more than investments in nothingness, as long as you value them. Illusions are investments. They stay for as long as you value them. When you see they have no more value to you, they will easily just fall away. You don't even have to do anything. They will just fall away on their own. Also, the other thing to read is text chapter 7, section 7. And I would say that's on blessings. It's paragraphs 2, 3, and 4, the most powerful paragraphs on blessings that I know. Even though there's lesson 187, I bless the world because I bless myself, but definitely read text chapter 7, section 7, paragraphs 2, 3, and 4. And I think that's just about it. It has been a wonderful morning. I'm going to be turning this mic over to you. Thank you so much, Lynn Johnson, for all that you do here with all that we bring to the table and that you do it so lovingly with each and every one that comes. So here's our fellowship hour, social hour. Lynn Johnson, thank you so much.